All right, Alexander, let's talk about the sacking, or the resignation, actually, of the defense minister of Ukraine. Well, I guess now the ex-defense minister of Ukraine, who was in that position for about 6 months. He used to be the information minister, the technology and information minister. Mm-hmm. And then he was appointed as the defense minister, and he's the guy that claims credit for the drone. The drone technology that is touted as turning the tide, yeah, as Ursula likes to say, with the conflict in Ukraine, and now he has been sacked. Well, he was going to be sacked, and then he just took the initiative and resigned. And now you actually have protests which are breaking out in various cities in Ukraine, including Kiev and Lviv. I'm not sure how big these protests will end up being or how long they will last. But there are many people in factions in Ukraine and in the United States, the Palantirs and these types of AI tech companies, which are probably not so happy with Fedorov stepping down because he was kind of their guy. Right. Yeah. In defense ministry, and they were working together on all the drone stuff, and they were getting a lot of intel and data from the conflict in Ukraine from him. So that's the situation. Why is Zelensky firing him? Why did he want to fire him? What problems is this going to cause for Zelensky? There was some kind of fight between Syrsky and Fedorov. There's allegations of the usual allegations of corruption, and Fedorov wanted to make things more transparent, but various oligarchs and the military did not like it. Usual stuff for Ukraine. But what is your view on this?
Yeah, I mean, so this is actually an interesting story because Fedorov, as you say, has only been there for 6 months. And if you have been reading, well, of course, you have been reading, but if people have been reading, people watching us have been reading the Western media attentively, over the last couple of months, he has been hailed, Fedorov has been hailed as the absolute genius who has transformed Ukraine's military industries, who is responsible for the drone revolution, as it is referred to, that has supposedly turned the tide in the war. He's been hailed and spoken up, talked about. And of course, he is, as you absolutely rightly say, very, very close to the American tech giants, to Palantir especially, but also to some of the others. And well, having had this big narrative of success built up around Fedorov, he's suddenly been sacked. Now, I think one of the reasons he's been sacked is because he was becoming too visible and was attracting too much attention. And with Zelensky, that is always a difficult thing. I mean, Zelensky is always most concerned about one thing first and foremost, and that is his own position as not just the leader of Ukraine, but as Ukraine's, you know, chief star. He wants to be the person who, when he travels around, people want to meet. He doesn't want a rival who also travels around European and Western capitals and attracts similar amounts of attention. That would be dangerous for him. That would set up a rival, especially a rival potentially backed by the United States. Zelensky won't have liked that. But I think there were other factors at play too. Firstly, Fedorov, what he managed to do, what he was doing, and I think this is fairly clear, is that he was making sure that a lot of the funding that was coming from Europe was going into certain groups and companies with strong connections, by the way, to the Western tech companies. And the result was that other parts of the Kiev political, economic, financial oligarchy were seeing that their cut was actually being reduced. And they didn't like that at all. this is very much a political system where you have to basically make sure that everybody gets pay, everybody gets their share. Fedorov was keeping back too much of the money for his favoured groups, who are probably the groups that are arranging all these protests in Lviv and Kiev that you're talking about. And that was creating resentment among some of the others. But I think there was a third factor, which is a more practical one, which is that he was actually unpopular with the army, not just Sirski, but with many of the military commanders and with many of the soldiers. Because what he was also doing is that he was focusing an awful lot of the funding on drone strikes inside Russia, in the Sea of Azov, against the refineries, against Crimea. And the result was that there was less attention being given, apparently, to the FPV drones that the military themselves rely on. And the military overall was getting fewer resources than it needed at a time when it was has been under intense pressure on the front lines. So they've been increasingly complaining about this to Zelensky. Konstantinovka, as we know, has just been lost. Other towns in Donbass are now under intense pressure. There's a gathering crisis on the northern front lines in Sumy and Kharkiv region. You did an excellent program, by the way, a short while ago with Stanislav Krapivnik. And Stanislav there provided an absolute, very interesting, very clear rundown of the situation on the battlefields. So these people, the military, have been saying to Zelensky, what kind of a defense minister is this? He's spending all his time with his smart friends in the United States. He's getting all this tech assistance, which is doing things where ultimately it's not so important. Meanwhile, we are losing the war. This is a pure civilian. He's all PR. He's all about money. He goes around in nice suits and presents himself very well. But we want somebody who really understands much better what is really going on in the war. And I think that this is it was ultimately the complaint from the military themselves, that made the difference.
Yeah, you're exactly right. When you take a step back and look at what Fedorov accomplished in 6 months, he really didn't accomplish much. He took Chinese drones, which we now know were from China, the components and the parts. The Financial Times has reported on this, so we know that. He took the Chinese parts and he managed to repackage them as Ukrainian and launch them into Russia using American satellite targeting and AI tech. That's what he did.
Yeah.
As far as the front line goes, he's been a disaster.
Yes.
And of course, the front line and the actual conflict is under Sirski's command. Yep. You understand that. But still, he's the defense minister.
Yeah.
What has he done with regards to the actual war in Ukraine? He's been a disaster.
Yes.
He hasn't done anything. He's been a complete disaster.
Yes.
But he's been good at the fiction, the narrative that Ukraine is manufacturing drones or has this huge drone capability, which we now know from the Financial Times is reporting that this is completely false. I wonder if the timing of that Financial Times article kind of lines up with Fedorov as well. I was just thinking about that.
Well, I think it does, actually.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely sure.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting for you to comment on.
Yeah.
But you know what else I think is also going on here? The drone thing has become such a big business for the globalists and for the Europeans, for Ursula and for every member state in Europe, that they probably said, you know, and for Zelensky, it's time for you to move on, Fedorov. We don't need you anymore. The bankers, the globalists, we're going to muscle you out of this whole drone thing. And we're going to take over this operation. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you've hyped this up and now everyone is talking about it and everyone wants to invest in this. Okay, well, it's time for you to go and we're coming in. And I imagine the Palantirs and all these companies, they'll also get on board with the globalists, and they'll start aligning with them as well. And they'll forget about Fedorov in a couple of days, right? Even though he was kind of their guy, they'll forget about him in a couple of days. But I think there's a lot of that going on in this as well, right? Who's this guy to sit here and be in charge of now this multi-billion dollar industry of drones? And we have this guy sitting on top of all of this. Come on, guys, get rid of him. And it's time for us to move in and take over this racket.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I've got nothing, absolutely nothing to add to that. And I think you're completely correct. I think anybody who thinks that the Europeans and the Americans and all of these people are going to pull out the stops to save Fedorov are completely wrong. I mean, they're quite happy to see him go. I mean, thank you very much. You did your job. You set this all up. You talked up this drone revolution idea. You did it exactly as Alex has just said. You imported the drones from China, repackaged them as Ukrainian, launched them with American AI against Russia. But, you know, this is all a big, wonderful new business. But we don't need you anymore. You've been the pioneer. Now we are there.
Get
we
out.
Can take it over. We can take it over. And that'll be fine for ourselves. And I think you're absolutely right also about the Financial Times article. I think the Financial Times article, which exposed the fact that these drones that have been hitting Russia are Chinese drones. I mean, this is something, as you rightly said in another program that we've done, we spoke about 3 weeks ago. We were well ahead of the game there. But now the moment has come to finally own up to that. Because, of course, the great drone master, the maestro who has been running this particular circus, he's been got rid of. So, you know, you could say, well, you know, Fedorov, he did a great job, but he was working with the Chinese ultimately. It was all about the Chinese, so we can talk about that. But now, from this point on, it's our business. It's not China's business. It's not his business. It's our business. So that's why articles like that in the Financial Times come out.
Yeah, it just can't be coincidence, the timing of all of this.
No.
Germany's talking about the drone manufacturing and making deals. Macron announced that he's going to be giving a license to Ukraine and they're going to manufacture drones in partnership, as well as scout missiles. You had Trump's statements at NATO where he said, yeah, we'll give you a license for Patriots and all this stuff. And then you had Ursula in Kiev the other day. Mm. And what did she do? She closed a partnership, a joint venture between the EU and Ukraine to manufacture what? To manufacture drones inside of Europe, not inside of Ukraine. The drones are going to be manufactured inside of Europe, but it's a joint partnership between the EU and Ukraine. What does Ukraine add to all of this? They add their know-how and their knowledge, right? that was what Ursula said. So, I mean, the timing to all of this is not random or coincidence. Yeah.
No.
All these deals seem to have been locked down, or maybe they believe they're all done and signed. So now, you know, it's time to get rid of, you know, the hype man, the marketing guy.
Absolutely. And by the way, as for the fact that there is also a bigger reshuffle taking place in Kiev, I mean, the Prime Minister, Sidorenko, has been sacked and other people have been sacked. This is all smoke and mirrors as well. They got rid of all of the others in order to give less attention to the fact that they were getting rid of Fedorov. Now, interestingly, as I said, I've been to the British media today, and it goes exactly to your point. There isn't a single article that I found where anybody says anything about what a shocking and sad thing it is that Fedorov has been sacked. I mean, he's just, you know, he's no doubt he's going to get his handshake and he'll be looked after fairly well. Not that well, but fairly well. But now it's time for the big guys to move in.
Yeah, exactly. Just a final question, kind of off topic, but not really. Mm. What do you make of all the news about the Russian refineries, the big Russian refineries, all being hit now by drones? There's a lot of talk, once again, from the Ukraine side of things, but the Russians are confirming this, that the refineries and the factories have been hit by drones. Pretty much most of the big refineries. Of course, people forget that Russia has hundreds of smaller oil refineries all over the place.
Yes.
But the big significant ones seem to have been all hit by drones. What would you make of this?
Refineries are huge. The big refineries can be huge industrial installations. It is not difficult to know where they are and to launch drones against them. I'm going to say a few things. Firstly, there's no doubt at all that refineries have been hit by drones. We see the smokes. We see all of that. The refineries can be repaired and will be repaired very quickly. In most cases, I suspect that the damage is repaired either within hours. You basically put out the fire and the refinery goes back into production, or within days. In a very few cases, if the damage is greater, it will be a few weeks. But overall, this is not, in my opinion, going to change significantly the overall situation with oil, petrol, gas supply in Russia. And I've been hearing that the problems in getting supplies of petrol and diesel in Russia have indeed been abating. But what it does do, I mean, what the effect of this is that it does mean that the Russians have had to invest very, very heavily in creating air defenses in many different parts of Russia, deep inside their interior, which is a diversion of resources and it costs money. And it's air defenses which perhaps they would liked to have had on their front line. There's been a pattern. So Ukraine starts with big drone strikes towards Moscow. Notice that that's basically ended. They've attempted to hit Moscow several times since the big strike we had back in June. But the air defenses have been able to counter that. So then they move on to the refineries. They also strike targets in Crimea and in Zaporozhye, Kherson region. Then as the air defenses in all of these places harden, they attack the ships at the Sea of Azov. And there they've done undoubtedly a lot of damage. But again, there is only so much damage they can do. The Russians, of course, carry out their own strikes, which, as Putin himself said, are much more powerful.
In Odessa, you mean? Like what's going on
Odessa,
in Odessa,
Kiev. I mean, they've been destroying the gas filling stations across eastern Ukraine, which is a real, I mean, that's real and it is important. And I mean, Odessa has been under semi-blockade for about a year. I think it is under total blockade now. And the thing to remember about Odessa is Odessa essentially is Ukraine's only port. I mean, there are smaller ports that they're not able to handle big cargoes. So with Odessa essentially closed, what Ukraine now must do, if it wants to trade by sea, is it's got to trade through Constanza, which is the port in Romania. And that creates logistical hurdles and all kinds of problems. And it puts more pressure on the economic situation. And I think ultimately what it also does, and I've said this in one of my own programs, is it softens up Odessa ahead of a potential Russian offensive towards Odessa. And there's increasing stories about that. And there are now rumors circulating in Russia, and there are only rumors, that General Surovikin is being brought back to command it.
Trading through Constanta, you mean rail? That would be
rail. I mean, they have to send. They would have to send the
goods
by rail.
What would prevent Russia from going after the rail?
Well, the Russians are indeed now going after the railways, and so that will. The choking of the Ukrainian economy is intensifying every week. Oh, it's a gradual process, but you can see it. I mean, they've focused first on eastern Ukraine, then central Ukraine, then it'll be western Ukraine. And of course, Odessa itself has been hammered.
All right. Okay, we will end the video there, theduran.locals.com. We're on X, we're on Rumble, we are on Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch, 26% off summer sale. And we are also on Substack as well. All those links in the description box down below. Take care.